Let us turn our attention to mushrooms. A lot of the time when we discuss the climate emergency, we tend to focus on plants and animals. When I mention fungi, maybe you think of a moldy piece of bread. Maybe you think of psychedelic mushrooms. The fungal world and its potential uses are actually a lot broader than that. I spoke to Louis Schwartzberg, the director of the new documentary, Fantastic Fungi. Louis is recognized as a pioneer in high-end time-lapse cinematography. His past works include Wings of Life, as narrated by Meryl Streep, Mysteries of the Unseen World, and the Moving Art series on Netflix. So we're talking today about Fantastic Fungi, which I did get to see a screener of. I heartily enjoyed it. So Louis, how did you get involved with this project?
Well, I think it's a lifelong journey that brought me to doing a film about mushrooms. When I graduated from UCLA, I wanted to shoot high-resolution 35-millimeter movie film. Couldn't afford it. So I basically pioneered time-lapse photography by building a DC motor that would take these old clunky animation cameras outdoors. And that turned me on to shooting things like sunrises and clouds and flowers opening. And that led me into the reality that when I heard about the bees disappearing, colony collapse disorder, well, you couldn't tell the story of the bees disappearing without telling the story of how they co-evolved with flowers over 50 million years ago. And that became the movie Wings of Life, a Disney nature feature, which is on Netflix. And I told the story of Mother Earth through the voice of a flower narrated by Meryl Streep. And then you ask yourself a bigger question. Well, that's critical for life on our planet. You know, the pollinators, bees, bats, hummingbirds, butterflies, making love to flowers, which gives us our fruit, nuts, and vegetables. What do plants need? Well, they need sunlight, they need water, but they need, most importantly, soil. Where does soil come from? Well, we do a deep dive, and to answer that question, most people don't know that soil comes from fungi. They break down organic matter, they break down rock, and they create this incredible underground fungal network that enables plants to survive. So anyway, I love making the invisible visible. And by looking at life through the point of view of a mushroom or a flower, it broadens our perspective, it opens our hearts, and I think it also elevates consciousness.
So what specifically interests you about fungi and mushrooms?
Well, I've been shooting, as I said, time-lapse flowers and mushrooms for almost 40 years. Nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I squeezed it into 16 hours of film. When I learned that the fungi network under the ground is almost like a shared economy that shares nutrients between trees, you know, the idea that it's all connected is not a hippy-dippy thing. It's scientifically accurate and factual, and that there's this network under the ground that builds community in a forest. It's not a bunch of trees, it's a community. And that enables ecosystems to flourish, not based on greed, but by sharing. And I think it's kind of interesting if we could take that model from below the ground and bring it above the ground.
Totally. So before starting this project, what kind of knowledge of fungi did you have?
Well, before I started this, I really didn't have a lot of knowledge about mushrooms. I had experimented with magic mushrooms in college, which I think had an impact on my life and the kind of filming that I do, because I do love to take people on journeys through time and scale to broaden their horizons and expand their perspective. That, you know, looking at life from the human point of view, which is like we live for 80 or 90 years, is one way of looking at stuff. A redwood tree lives 500 years. A fly might live 4 or 5 days. The idea of being able to expand your consciousness in that way, I definitely feel is a good thing, so we can be more compassionate, more empathetic to all life on this planet. So whether I'm telling the story from the point of view of a flower or the point of view of a mushroom, it is the feminine side of nature that I'm sharing. It's Mother Nature. And I think we need to open our hearts to that.
Yeah. So how does a project like Fantastic Fungi come together?
Come to life?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I typically start the project on my own, and I start filming interviews. I have a vast library, part of which is actually a series on Netflix called Moving Arc, where I have gorgeous nature imagery with music and no narration. So I tend to take images from my library and some interviews. I start to put together what's called like a sizzle reel or a trailer. And with that, I reach out to potential supporters, either in the profit or nonprofit world. And little by little, I try to fundraise to get the film made. And this particular film, we've been able to get it to the finish line without having to make a deal yet, which I want to do to a streaming platform eventually. My goal initially, and the reason why we're in Portland, is because we want to have people come together as a community and not watch it alone on the digital device. We've already sold out, I think, the first couple of shows. It goes to show that there's a movement out there, and we want to be the film that catalyzes the movement.
Right. So, as we discussed a little bit, you've tackled nature as a topic in a number of your films, but was the process different for trying to capture fungi?
Yeah, it definitely was different because the fungi, especially underground, being the largest organism on the planet, is only one cell thick and is underground, but there's no light. So how do you shoot that? So everything in my film, and people I think have been marveling over the time lapse, which is very challenging to do with mushrooms, but at least it's real, it's truthful, it's honest. And once I got beyond the ability to film things with a microscope, we have done some extraordinary computer animation based on scanning electron microscopy of what the underground mycelium network looks like. So these are all extremely challenging and difficult shots to get. But I love the challenge. I love, you know, showing people what is invisible, yet real. It's more mind-blowing to see that than to see a sci-fi movie where you blow up a planet and the brain looks at that and knows it's fake. At least I'm showing things you've never seen before that's real. And that has, a stronger emotional impact.
So like you said, there's these incredible time-lapse shots of fungi overtaking fallen tree branches, mushrooms blooming out of the forest floor. Can you tell me about capturing those sequences specifically?
Sure. Most of the work that I do is done indoors. It all looks like it's outdoors. I don't want to like give away the trick, but the reality is you can't leave a camera outdoors for 3 or 4 weeks and hope to come back and find it. You also have issues with lighting that will flicker and change. We shoot around the clock, so there's no jump in the growth rate. So basically what I do is, indoors is I create like a mini landscape in the studio with grow lights as well as photo lights that come on during the exposure. And this gives us the ability to have a controlled environment where we can control the lighting, control the wind, bugs, insects, and make sure that the equipment isn't stolen or damaged by weather.
That's very interesting. Cool. So Paul, the mycologist in the film, says that he believes that nature is intelligent, and that's explored in different ways throughout the film. Can you tell me about how that idea played into your choices, like thematically?
Sure. Well, nature is intelligent. I mean, think about the fact that almost every, you know, animal and even and definitely all plants communicate chemically. You know, and perhaps we communicate with plants by eating them. That's a chemical connection. But just because they don't speak language, like, you know, that doesn't mean they're not intelligent. We need to kind of lean into their world and try to understand what they are saying to us. And obviously it's intelligent. There's billions of things happening every second, you know, that is the foundation of life. I mean, think about the fact that the cells in your body are communicating with each other, a trillion cells, without you micromanaging it. Where does that intelligence come from?
Right.
Silence?
No, I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah, question, because yeah, I don't have that answer. It is intelligent. When a tree falls in the forest, how does the mycelium know? It doesn't have eyes or ears that it's time to come decompose it, right? It's sentient, it's knowledgeable, it doesn't have a brain. It's sort of like the internet. The internet, I would say, is somewhat conscious, the brain, and nobody's driving it. It's the same idea. There are these network patterns in the universe, in our bodies, our circulatory system, our nervous system, our neurological system in our brain. These network patterns have a sense of intelligence and order, and they solve problems, and they are therefore intelligent.
Right. Intelligence isn't just thinking. That's maybe limiting to think of it
that way. Yes. I think in Western science, I think anything that can find food and react to light is considered intelligent. But certainly with indigenous cultures, they've always looked at a forest and understood that it's a spirit, that it's a giant organism, that it is something that needs to be respected and cared for. And I think when you do that, then you end up falling in love with it and you'll protect what you love.
Let's return to my conversation with director Louis Schwartzberg. So there is this remarkable sequence that illustrated the way that fungi could be used to break down petroleum in the case of oil spills. Because the material is organic, the fungi can break it down and store the carbon underground and ultimately regenerate the effective area into one that's usable for plants and animals. What do you see the role of fungi being moving forward in a world that's increasingly facing a climate crisis?
Yeah, so clearly, I didn't know this when I started the film, that potentially fungi could be the greatest natural solution for climate change in its relationship with plants that are doing photosynthesis. So we have that incredible shot in the movie where we watch a CO2 molecule go into the pore of a leaf, oxygen's being released, which we know we breathe in oxygen, exhale CO2. That's the relationship we have with plants and trees. A carbon molecule goes through the branch, down the trunk of the tree, through the roots, and that carbon is exchanged, with other nutrients it needs from the mycelium network, where the tips of the roots are touching the tips of this underground internet, this network, where they share nutrients with each other, and thereby sequestering carbon back underground, storing it there for thousands of years. And when a plant needs carbon to grow tomorrow or 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, that carbon is there. It can be utilized to become a new living organism.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's a mind blower, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I think we talk about carbon sequestering in, as being a function of ice loss in the Arctic and stuff like that, but it's not the only way. It's very interesting. So in doing a film about fungi and mushrooms, have you encountered any misconceptions from people in talking about those?
Yes, I have. I think, some people have a fear of all mushrooms. They heard that they're poisonous and, have a fear. As Paul says in the film, anything that can, that can heal you, that can feed you, that can get you high or kill you, is sort of naturally feared. But that's true of a lot of things in nature. You don't just go on a hike and eat any berry that you see on a trail. You obviously have to be knowledgeable about what you can eat or not eat. I think that the mushrooms are kind of clandestine. They're hiding all the time. Sometimes they'll pop up, sometimes they don't. They are mysterious. And I think that creates a lot of mystery. And some people like to dive into the mystery. And perhaps some people are scared of the mystery.
Right. And the role that we think of mold playing is not one that's necessarily celebrated, but it's a part of life.
Well, you're right, because most people think of mold, which is a form of fungi, as the decomposition is the end of life. You find it like on a peach, on your countertop, on fruit. And you realize when you die, you will probably, if you're buried, you will decompose. But on the other hand, you could say it's the beginning of life. If we didn't break down organic matter, we would choke on all the stuff and there would be no rebirth, no regeneration. So we need them. It's like recycling. If there was no recycling on the planet, even with the garbage that mankind is creating, pretty soon we would all choke on all the stuff that if we can't reuse it, repurpose it, then it would be a major disaster. So nature has always been the best recycler. Fungi are the recyclers of nature. So whether you call it the end of life or the beginning of life, it's a circle of life.
Right. Yeah, well said. So what do you hope the reaction to this film will be?
Well, I think that the reaction I've seen so far is it gives a lot of people hope, especially young people who are facing this giant environmental, you know, potential apocalyptic future with climate change. And, you know, saying in 20, 30, 40 years, you know, we could have devastating effects on the planet. We've already lost almost like 50% of our species. So we're not going in the right direction here. And when you can discover and learn that there are this is a giant kingdom in nature that is here to heal us, that is a giant immunity builder, that is able to recycle, that is able to clean the atmosphere, it gives us hope. All we need to do is perhaps, you know, encourage scaling it by not using pesticides, by not using GMOs, by doing no-till agriculture. Let's allow this symbiotic relationship under the ground between the mycelium network and plants and trees to flourish. And if we do that, according to many scientists, if we stop putting fossil fuel contamination and CO2 into the atmosphere, if we actually stopped it, we could clean the atmosphere in as little as 5 years. So, you know, we don't need to necessarily spend $1 billion on coming up with a high-tech solution to figure out how to create a giant vacuum cleaner to clean the atmosphere from all the pollution we put into it. We just got to let nature do its thing. And then I think the other big takeaway, and that sort of the film ends on this note, something that I had no idea about, was this idea of interconnectedness, this idea that the mycelium network builds bridges underground between different plants, between trees, between a mother tree and its own baby tree. And that is nature's operating instructions. And why use that as a guide or as a model for how we live our lives above the ground? You know, a shared economy, not based on greed. When ecosystems flourish, everybody benefits. The birds, the insects, the plants, the mammals, human beings. We all benefit from a healthy living environment.
Right. So is there anything else that you'd like to impart to our listeners today?
Well, I hope to go see the movie at, I think it's Cinema 21, and that they tell their friends about it, that they become part of the mycelial network by sharing that information. They can go to fantasticfungi.com, and they can see the 25 different cities we're opening this film. We're relying on social media and, you know, interviews like this to spread the word. We don't have a marketing or an advertising budget, yet we are so far proving the fact that there is a lot of interest for people to come together, to have this shared experience, to talk about interconnection, to figure out how we can help our local communities thrive by getting involved in permaculture, foraging, gardening. Oregon is leading the nation by having maybe the first ballot initiative to decriminalize psilocybin so that people that are suffering from anxiety or severe cancer diagnosis can get some help. You guys are pioneering it. So I'm asking everyone to potentially spread the word, spread the spores of wisdom. We can have this conversation and let it go globally.
Awesome. Spread the spores of wisdom. I like that. Well, Louis, thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate you taking the time.
Okay. Thank you so much for helping to spread the spores and love. And it's an honor to be here in Portland. I'll be here Friday night, Saturday night. And again, it's going to be great to be a catalyst for a movement that's going to be bigger than we think.
Awesome. Well, Louis Schwartzberg, thank you so much for talking to me.
Okay, take care.
You too. That was Louis Schwartzberg, director of the new film Fantastic Fungi, screening at Cinema 21 through October 10th. Louis will be in attendance tomorrow, Saturday, September 28th, at the 4 p.m. show. I have been Althea Billings. Thanks for listening.